Hi, I'm Elizabeth Tankard.
And I'm John Tankard, and we are Carlos in OKC.
We've discussed parking in previous segments, but today we're going to get a new perspective on the issue. It may sound dry, but automobile parking is often a source of stress in urban settings.
We're joined by our good friend, Shane Hampton, who is a fellow at the University of Oklahoma Institute for Quality Communities. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, John and Elizabeth. Parking tends to come up every time we work with an urban district, whether it's in a small town or a big city.
Okay, first question. You've conducted several parking studies around the city, including ones for the Plaza District and Uptown 23rd. What are some common issues you've come in contact with?
We're watching a fun transformation as businesses and residents are coming back to the urban core. These neighborhoods were developed when driving was less common. Families were less likely to own a car, the streetcar was an option, and people lived closer to the places they frequently went. The problem is that we try to apply modern ideas and standards for parking in historic districts. The walkable urban character is what draws people there in the first place, and acres of parking doesn't fit that image. So we have to look for more deliberate and creative solutions. For example, I like to look at the district's busiest times of the week and observe if more people are biking or carpooling to the district. People naturally adjust when they know parking is going to be challenging. The same rules would never apply to a suburban shopping mall, but in urban districts it's sometimes okay to allow a tight parking supply, because people who don't mind walking, biking, or carpooling will be incentivized to do so.
I've heard a lot of complaints about parking downtown, and that there isn't enough of it. Our parking agency says that we're over capacity, but I feel like half the buildings downtown are there to accommodate parking. What's going on here, and how would you suggest we remedy this problem?
It's really a 9-to-5 problem, when parking's occupied by downtown employees. The other 2/3 of the day, we have a huge abundance of unused parking structures. Actually, providing parking for every downtown employee is inefficient. One car requires about 300 square feet in a parking garage. That means many people probably have an office smaller than their parking spot. If downtown's daytime parking supply is over capacity, it does become difficult to attract or grow companies downtown, so it's not good. In Oklahoma City, the response to this problem has been to build more parking. What if we flipped our perspective and asked, how can we reduce the number of cars entering downtown? Well, we can improve transit options, we can build more housing within walking distance, but maybe the most effective way to encourage people to give up a parking spot is to show them the money. Many companies downtown are providing parking for every worker. That can be over $1,200 per employee per year. If this cost is invisible to the employee, they might choose to drive even if they live a short walk away. What if companies offered a choice between a parking space and a cash transportation allowance? Workers would have to ask themselves, do I want my parking spot or should I take the money and buy a transit pass? Maybe I could dust off my bike or organize a carpool and split the cash with my coworker.
Are there any innovations in parking that can make a big difference in Oklahoma City?
The biggest innovations are related to pricing parking, and that's not new for Oklahoma City. The very first parking meter was invented here because merchants determined they could increase customer turnover by charging money for parking spaces. Now cities are getting really creative with revenue from parking meters. A parking benefits district reinvests parking revenue into a district by improving sidewalks or adding bike infrastructure. These districts understand that encouraging walking and biking is just as important when it comes to making sure there are parking spaces available for people who choose to drive.
Okay, last question. Who ultimately bears the price of parking?
Parking is an expensive legal requirement for most housing and businesses. Business owners have to account for the cost of providing parking, whether they want to or not. Businesses pass those costs on to consumers. The cost of building and maintaining huge expanses of parking is included in home prices, apartment rents, menu items, and definitely at big box cash registers. We've all seen a big, mostly empty parking lot around town. When you see it, keep in mind two things. One, it was probably required by law, and two, even though it seems free to park there, the cost to build and maintain it is shared by everyone.
So those who don't use parking should be concerned with the amount of and price of parking?
Absolutely. Even if you're carless, you're sharing in the cost of providing free and abundant parking. If we start to make the cost of parking more visible, there will be more support for transit and infrastructure that helps people without cars.
For more information about the OU Institute of Quality Communities, you can visit their webpage at iqc.ou.edu to find the studies they've completed for Oklahoma City.
I don't want no hydrants, no street cleaning, or parking.
I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm John. What does it take to live without a car in Oklahoma City? We're trying to find out. You can learn all about our experiences at carlosinokc.blogspot.com or Twitter handle carlosinokc.